Sci-fi party line. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and we have a full show today. We're going to go down the line and introduce everyone, especially our newbie, Jackie. Where are you from, Jackie?
Hey, I'm Jackie. I'm from Toronto, and you'll find me at jerkdoublebitch.com.
All right, what is that? Because, you know.
It's true. Nobody knows what it is. It's a TV humor opinion blog.
Ah, so if we call you double bitch, you won't be offended. We're going to call you Jackie.
Okay.
We won't do that. We won't do that, but.
I answer to it. It's fine. DB, I go by that too.
DB. DB. And yes, we have an Obi back. He hasn't been here in a while. And we have Anthony.
Hey.
Well, give us your URL and where you're from and what you've been up to, all that stuff.
My name's Anthony. I'm from Milledgeville, Georgia, now living in Atlanta.
ATL.
Website, blackgeekdom.com.
All right. And we have Carl on the line. Where are you from?
Oh, hey, representing D.C. here. How you doing? Doing all right?
Okay. And Will. Will is back.
Hey,
yes. Yay, what you been up to?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Oh, you know, doing some special effects work, stuff like that.
Yay. Yeah. You still can't tell us about it, can you?
Cannot tell you a damn thing. Man. Sorry. but
I mean, I'm an email.
No.
Shoot us an email.
No, he got NDAs.
Yeah, I can't even do that.
Yeah.
Yes, NDAs and nasty people. People with suits. People with much nicer suits than I do. Come up with me. So I can't do anything about that.
And we have our audio editor extraordinaire, Eric.
Oh, is that? I didn't know if that's who I was now. But,
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hi. Yeah.
He's trying to be all
smart
and stuff.
You're doing some good work, Eric. Really good.
Thank you.
The last episode, oh, that was amazing.
Wow.
Look at that.
Far too kind.
I love how he pulls
the baby is growing.
The background music.
Look at him.
And throws it in behind the people. It's just amazing work.
So that's
Take
very
a bow, my man. Take a bow.
Oh, wow.
I was giving him crap about it. He was like, Dad, you shut up. And I was
yes,
like, okay.
My producer was giving me a lot of crap.
I wasn't giving you crap, dude. Anyway.
Olivia Dunham, FBI.
Most of what I'm about to show you has not been made public. Intel that's classified above top secret.
Episode of Fringe was the season premiere, and it was called I Have That New Day Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we thinking about Fringe so far? Who wants to jump on it?
Fringe. Loving Fringe.
Will.
Thank you. No, I absolutely adore that show. They took a few liberties, I think, like the whole idea of Fringe Division. I don't think they were calling it Fringe Division a while in the last few episodes of last season, but now it's like, hey, we're Fringe Division, and we've been doing this for years. Okay, I guess. It seemed a lot more thrown together, and now it's like, no, there's a Fringe Division, and the guy, the bald guy's in charge of it, and he has been for years, and I'm like, okay, no, I'm taking that ride. I'm going with this.
Well, you think they just threw it together, or they had a plan? Because it seems like they had a plan, but they wanted us to, like, it to be revealed slowly.
What the thing I like about this is, and they've said there are two worlds, right?
Right.
In the story. I think this might not be the world we think it is.
I know, especially since what's-his-face and Nina Sharp is kissing.
There's some hints of that in the last episode of last season. And the thing is, you don't know. And the other thing is, the lens flare. Right? Has everyone seen the show? Right? Everyone's
yes,
seen the
we're
show?
Good.
Jackie, you said Jerk was that's Jerk show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she can close like your it. Ears. Just close your ears.
Well, no, it's okay. Fine. Spoil me. It's my own fault.
Okay. Well, I hate to spoil people.
Well, no.
I'll take my headphones off for a minute. Go for it.
That's who we know. But, so the thing was last season, they had to start with the lens flares. And there would be lens flares in the scenes and the shots. There would be no motivation for the lens flares, you know, kind of like Star Trek.
So you're saying that the lens flares is for, say, Betaverse, and in Alphaverse they don't have them.
Oh, nice Charlie Jade there. All right.
Very much. Look at you.
When the flare comes in, there's a transfer. There's some kind of something weird. The next thing that's going to happen is going to be strange. And the weird thing is, if last season or as they played it on the show, which I have to commend Fox for, thank you for this, last week, which I watched, I watched the last episode of last season, which was last week, and then watched this episode, which is coming at it straight in, it's very good. But they did this thing where Olivia's driving down the street, and a car comes out, and she swerves to avoid the car.
That right? was in the season finale.
Yeah, season finale. And okay. She's fun. And she goes on to meet with...
Oh!
And then she goes into the parking lot. She stays in the hotel. She transfers over to see William Bell. And then that's the end of the episode. But if you look at this episode, if you look at how it's set up, the car that she avoided purposely hit her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like going... Oh, this is interesting. And I'm watching this and I'm going, what the heck is going on? What is going to happen? Wait a minute. But everything is happening. It's stopped. What the hell? This doesn't make sense. And then she flies through the windshield. And I was like, oh my God.
See, I can't tell whether.
This is so cool.
I can't tell whether. Anthony, give us some of your, we haven't heard from you. Give us some of your insights.
Well, I just want to go on record to say that you laughed at me when I first told you about Friends.
What do you mean? What did I laugh? What was I giggling about?
I was telling you about Friends and you're like, yeah, we'll see.
About what particularly?
The show in general.
No, but I love Friends.
Not in the beginning. But anyway, I thought...
I was bored with it or something. I remember not thinking it was...
Okay, I'll go back.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that.
Just you hush.
No. I mean, like, four episodes in, you were committed. But the first two episodes, you're like, I don't know about this thing. It looks depressing. You were on the whole
ESG
depression thing. Yeah.
I thought the first episode of this season was very good. Last season, I just loved. I think it's my favorite show right now. So
mine.
King's canceled. But
I don't think it's gonna get canceled.
I think
it has
King's
enough strength.
It's King's
my
castle.
Favorite show.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was pretty good. I think I don't think they're gonna do a lot of switching back and forth. Because if you start thinking about string theory and multiple universes, then it can get too confusing for a regular person watching the show. That's too much. So I think they'll for the most part stick with the main, I guess, the alpha verse, whatever you called it, more so than switching back and forth. This is my opinion. I think the thing between Nina and Broyles is a little weird. And I don't know, I have to watch it again, but I don't know if it looked like he may have been caught off guard. But I have to watch it again and see. So it was a little weird.
Carl.
In the beginning, it did seem like they just threw the Friends division together because I guess when they first put it together, it was just the three of them, Broyles and Livia and the other people, Walter and Peter. And then it sort of took a life of its own after that. But I
wasn't Philip Broyles already doing something French Division the whole time, which is why Olivia's boyfriend died?
I don't know if it was that organized. You know, I think they were just investigating cases, but I don't think it was necessarily a French Division, like Will said, until towards the end of the season.
Okay.
And it seems to make it more official this season. Kind of like the X-Files. The X-Files wasn't really official. You know, they were just investigating cases that didn't really have, you know, any clear indication of what it was about.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It just seems like they're trying to, it's starting to be more like a ripoff of X-Files. I mean, I still like it.
Yeah. Like especially since they're, like, trying to shut it down. It was real X-Files-y with that. Carl, what you thinking?
Oh, boy. Well, it took a while to grow on me. When I first I watched the pilot and I watched the first couple of episodes, and Dunham was bothering me. I got to tell you. What's her name? I mean, I'm sitting there watching. For the first two, three episodes, I'm going, is she a robot? Is she a clone? Where, you know, what's it?
She's just Australian.
And, yeah, oh, well, see, they did.
Hey, let's not talk about Australians.
She's Australian, that's all.
I don't know what the heck was.
FancyFinBot@gmail.com.
So it was making it really hard for me to get in with the characters because, especially, you know, she's the lead. I didn't find the second guy particularly interesting. You know, I didn't think he was all that. With Peter,
the
right? Peter.
Oh,
Peter Bishop, right? Peter. I thought he was okay, and you know, I thought he was all right. I wasn't a fan of Dunham, so I'm sitting there going, okay, these people are killing me. I'm trying to hang in there. It's so much like X-Files. But I gotta admit, you know, toward the end of the first season, they really started pulling it together. I mean, the plot started getting a little bit tighter. The mysteries, they didn't leave you. Okay, I do like story arcs, okay? So, you know, you B5 folks out there, I like a good story arc where, you know, they can connect stuff across different episodes in a way that makes sense, and it really draws you in without leaving you with too many questions on the individual episodes. They started doing that. The bad guys started getting more, you know, tangible. You kind of knew what was going on there. I like the whole idea of parallel universes. I mean, you know, that hasn't been done a lot well in science fiction. And to see them taking it on this way in an intelligent way, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. So now, you know, I'm giving it a try. I'm starting to go again. And this the season two premiere was really, really good. I mean, I was feeling the possibility of all of this being in the second universe. Mm-hmm. You know, I was getting the feel of that, which may explain some of this legitimacy of the Fringe Division. Maybe they're legitimate in the parallel universe, but in the one that we know, there's still garage band and, you know, what got cows in the basement. I don't know. You know, I'm just, I don't know. But I am enjoying it more. Dunham, strangely, not emoting much more, which is bothering me. But you know, I really am enjoying the acting stylings of Astrid. You know, something about her character is just really, really touching me on a deep level. I just
Jackie step in. They go with the girl.
She ruined my entire Dragon Con experience because she can't.
That's
terrible.
What are you talking about? What? Come on now. Come on. Why? Why are you saying that?
What? Who? What now?
It wasn't the Dragon Con. I'm assuming.
She didn't come to Dragon Con.
You guys are spoiled with Dragon Con, so you can just be quiet, okay?
Uh-oh. All right, there we go.
Enjoy what you have. It's such a mercy.
let me get in there. Now, I do think Astrid is beautiful. That's true. But truly, truly, my favorite character is It's
okay,
easy.
There you go.
Jean? Is Jean
no.
your
friend? No, it's Walter.
Oh.
It's Walter.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
From the first episode.
You got a little man crush on Walter.
Now,
yeah.
See, why can I respect a fellow mad scientist without being Come on. When he brought the cow, there's the scene. I can't remember if it's the first or the second episode, but there is this one scene where Astrid, Walter, and the cow are watching TV together.
When I saw it, I said, okay, this may just make it. You know, it was just that one scene. I was like, oh, that's pretty. That's pretty right there. So they've got us at the time. I've liked Walter from the beginning, and he's really kind of kept me with the series. But yeah, no, they're doing great now. They're doing great now. But they were slow. They were real slow for me. So I'm happy they're tightening it up.
I knew someone would come.
My father.
He worked out of Harvard. He was part of a classified U.S. Army experimental program in an area called fringe science.
They're calling these events the pattern. As if someone out there is experimenting, only the whole world is in lab.
You're telling me my father was Dr. Frankenstein.
Jackie, I know you haven't seen the season premiere. We kind of spoiled you a little bit, but what do you think about Fringe? Have you watched it at all or no?
No, honestly, I think I caught one episode in the first season that was about pigeons.
Oh?
And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
The tracking pigeons, and I was like, what the hell is this? honestly, it's not that I am not interested in the show. I love J.J. Abrams, so yeah, I will probably watch the show, but just the amount of shows that we cover on our blog doesn't allow for me to watch all of them. So it's one of the ones that got cut for me, but you guys would advise that it's one I should get on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you liked X-Files in the least, yeah. Then yeah, you have to catch this
one. As of now, I'm referring to Fringe as the Lost successor. Once Lost is gone, I feel Fringe the go-to show.
What about Flash Forward? Oh, okay, that's another episode.
What?
Yeah, I know. See, Flash Forward doesn't interest me in the least.
Me either.
Really? I'm excited for it.
Really?
I'm not. Any idea.
I don't know. I don't feel like being jerked around anymore. Lost is enough.
I think Flash Forward is going to jerk everybody around.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I need that. Eric.
Yes. Wow, Fringe. Great. I don't know. Still
Eric.
And
you sound like you know about as much as I do.
I'm done. No, I've been there from the beginning. And like other people on the show, it started off slow for me. You know, I didn't, you know, it was on a cancel watch, you know, for like the first 6 or so weeks.
That's true.
Wasn't sure what was going on there. It was on Fox, you know.
Right?
Fox has a splendid history with sci-fi shows.
Flyer.
Anyways. Anyways.
Terminator.
Yeah, Fringe also started off slow for me. And, you know, somewhere halfway, midway, and beyond in the season, yeah, it got a lot more interesting. And to be honest, like, I was just really starting to warm up to it back in its later months of airing. And I never got around to watching, like, the last 4 episodes when they aired. And I completely, no reason. I just put it aside. Summer movies started coming out because I was keeping up on Hulu and summer movies started coming out. And I knew the Blu-ray was going to come out in September.
This guy's obsessed with Blu-ray.
Yes, that's a whole other podcast. But, so I just waited. I was like, yeah, that'll be something to look forward to in September. And so I literally, you know, I got the Blu-ray when it came out September 8th. I just watched the last 4 episodes of season 1 before watching the premiere. And seeing it at home on Blu-ray, it's a whole other show. Like, completely more cinematic now at home compared to when I first saw it. And it just blew me away. And so
is it that it looks better, or is you catch more detail on Blu-ray, or what?
Yeah, looks, sounds better. I mean, I watch it in HD as it is on television, but it's still a notch better. And like, I just popping in the Blu-ray, and someone here had never seen the show before, so I was like, oh, let's watch the first episode real quick. I hadn't seen the first episode since it aired, the pilot. Which I remember kind of bored me at the time, the first time I saw it.
Really? But, with the tank and everything?
I mean, I was just like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of setup, you know. You're not really, obviously, investing in the show at that time. Because when I saw the pilot, the whole airplane scene in the beginning was so, like, cinematic. But then it just, you know, the excitement level drops off after the initial liquefying people. But anyways... So we started watching Fringe from the beginning, and now that I've already seen the show, you know, I never realized how much information and clues are planted in the pilot, because you had no idea at the time. I mean, there's all this talk about William Bell in the pilot episode. And the first time they show, she goes to the Massive Dynamics building in the pilot, there's like there's random clues like in the side of the frame. There's like a website name like on a street pole like outside the building.
Website to where?
It was one of those viral campaign websites. It's not. I went to the URL, but it no longer exists. But
bastards.
But as I saw that, I was like, whoa, wait a second, and I rewound the episode. And as I was looking for that sticker, I realized that there was a hidden message in the reflection of the windows of Massive Dynamics as it panned across the building, and it said like something like don't believe the truth. And it was just in the reflection of the windows. It was really weird. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
And I had to go back and watch everything all over again.
Oh my god,
that's a little lost. The thing about watching, see, I'm watching it broadcast on a stupid analog TV, I'm sorry. But
you're so old school.
Thank you. Yes, but and the thing of it is that, and even Bones, which is the show that comes before it in America, the weird thing is that these things are shot, as you say, Eric, cinematically. They're shot for the 16:9 image, and they look like crap on television because it's a smallest square out of the middle, and it's just so bad. But the interesting, it's just that these shows are like the first shows that if you watch it in that small 4:7, little bitty TV screen, that you're going to miss tons of detail. And, I think it's fascinating.
So true. I mean, I'm watching it on a 50-inch at home in HD, and some of these things are really small. No, but I mean, I'm serious.
I'm really happy for you.
No, but I'm saying, like that website sticker. I mean, it was really small, even on my television. Forget about if you're like on something smaller than 32, it's completely invisible. Like you would never see these. Yeah, because there was hidden MD logos in certain places that were really small that, again, mm-hmm. there's no way you would see on a standard television. But also, go ahead.
Yeah, even bigger than the logos and stuff, I enjoyed the Where's Waldo game of trying to find the Observer. I know what you're going to say. At the beginning of the season premiere, okay? Okay, so mm-hmm. I'm watching it. Someone said, because I was online with Kat, and we were all, with people. Someone asked if the Observer was in this episode. It was 3/4 over, and I hadn't had a chance to, and I was like, I don't remember. I hit rewind. I've got my DVR, so I was rewinding on the DVR. The band was bigger than the Observer. When I was rewinding, the little rewind arrows, I couldn't even see him because the rewind band was over the guy. So I had it slow-mo. Like, and only then did I see, creeping across the first scene, Observer's in that one. So I call him Waldo.
I missed him totally.
Yeah,
they mentioned it in the chat room. They said it was at the beginning of the episode. You have to go all the way back.
So you're talking about detail. I mean, stickers, there are whole people you can miss if you don't have the right aspect ratio, if you got the slow-mo on, the menu options up.
I will turn this world over looking for him.
William Bell is not in this world.
I've been waiting quite a long time for this.
Yeah, I think the reason why they're calling it Fringe Division now is because they wanted to make... Did you see the two X-Files references in the premiere?
No.
Anybody? Because that was just like, woohoo. Yeah. I mean, there was the first reference. There was the first reference that when Socket Guy was plugging himself in the first time, and on the television, the background...
X-Files was on the TV.
Yeah, they had Fox Mulder. They had Fox Mulder on the television, like staring up
at
the guy. Yeah, and I was like, ooh, that's cool. That was the first thing. But then later, when they were having the FBI inquiry or whatever with the senator, and you know, obviously in my mind I was thinking, oh yeah, just like X-Files, because how many times did this happen on X-Files? And then when the senator is like, well, you know, you guys in Fringe Division and like the X section before you or whatever he called it, and I was like, oh, I was like, that is awesome.
I caught that too. Yes. Okay. I was digging on that.
Yeah, that was nice. Great. That was fantastic. Because, like, wow. Because a lot of people have been, you know, postulating, you know, if everyone wants Fringe, like, well, fanfic people want Fringe to exist in the same universe as Lost. And now, in
what?
A way.
What? Why? Why?
Just because William Bell and what's his name from Lost?
They're two different things.
I understand that, but what's his name in Lost? The guy who's behind everything? Well, not behind everything, but...
Oh, the... yeah, right.
You're talking about Boyce?
I don't watch... No. He's talking about Lost.
Mr. Echo.
No, what? No, the guy who's been trying to get back on the island, the one who's been, you know, having all the expedition, the one who did the whole cover.
Penny's dad.
Exactly, Penny's dad. Why am I not remembering his name right now?
Doesn't matter.
But a lot of people like to associate him with William Bell because they're two similar type characters.
Widmore, Charles.
Yes,
Widmore.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Anthony's the only one who reads. Woo!
That's right.
A lot of people like to think, possibly, that they're like in the same universe, you know. And then, like, when Walter was explaining about, you know, when he was trying to explain to Dunham about how time travel works for anyone who hadn't seen Back to the Future already. But when he was explaining it, I was like, oh, it's almost as if he's trying to explain laws for people who, you know, who are not satisfied with time travel storyline. So, I mean, there's just a lot of other things. But now, the way they, in a backdoor way, they connect it to X-Files, that's just cool fan wank on top of
it. Okay.
And then, also with Dunham,
okay.
We were talking about the car crash in the beginning, because, like I said, I watched the season one finale literally right before I watched the premiere, so it was super fresh in my mind. And when she had that strange car crash in the season finale, I knew it was going to be something similar to how it turned out. Like, that was so suspicious to me. And when she did shoot out of the windshield and then she was in the hospital, see, I was thinking at first, this is not our Olivia. This is an alternate world Olivia, is what I was thinking. But then when she came to and then they were talking to her, they made it seem because she was like, oh, I think I want some.
You don't want us to talk about Charlie.
Oh no! Charlie! Oh my god!
Wow!
I knew Charlie was gonna bite it. I knew it! I knew he was going down!
Oh, is Charlie not Charlie?
I was so sad that they killed him off. Man, you know, it's Charlie.
That was funny. That was the first episode that I liked his character. That's hilarious. That's so hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, technically he's not dead. He's not dead. He's going to be with us for a good long time.
Sure. I mean, he appeared in the body. Five. Are you kidding?
But is Charlie not Charlie? And it's just not the same.
Even Anna Lucia showed up in season 5.
Who? What?
Huh? What? What are we talking about?
Obscure reference.
Charlie. What are we talking about? Charlie who?
Okay. Now moving on to this.
We're talking about Lost.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
That's
what I was talking about. So why did everyone get weird?
Because I didn't hear what you said exactly.
Because I said even Anna Lucia showed up in season 5.
Oh.
Lost.
Okay. It's a Lost reference.
Yeah, I did. All right.
Yeah, it was a totally Lost reference.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Why is everyone weird all of a sudden about Lost? Like, I don't understand.
I didn't hear it at all. I was like, I don't. Okay.
Jackie, high five.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah, I cried tears for Charlie, and we have to move along.
I just want to go back to before.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
about Defying Gravity now. I found a really interesting article that said that actually said, I was talking about this with Carl, that the article actually said that Defying Gravity was going to be Grey's Anatomy in space. So that is why we're in all of this drama and I want to start with Jackie. I want to start with Jackie because this is what she came on for, Defying Gravity. What do you think so far of the show? How are you thinking about it?
I'm liking it. I can see why people are finding a hard time getting into it, but I am liking it. From the beginning, and I think up until now, I still feel like we need all this like extra super sci-fi stuff to it. I like those things. I like sci-fi, but to have these extra mystery elements, I don't think are necessarily so needed.
What mystery element?
I just want to make sure that we're all like at the same spot. How many episodes are you guys at?
I'm totally caught up.
Okay, so like, six episodes?
I think it was
six. Okay.
The last one I saw was the one when they all opened pod 4.
Right.
Okay, I saw one after that, I think.
Oh, because they're still airing it in Canada, but they're not.
Canada airs them on a different day and stuff. Yeah, okay, so you guys just saw till when they opened it, right?
Yeah. So you're further ahead? You're further ahead?
Well, they ended here in the U.S., and they're continuing it in Canada. So we saw that again.
Which means
that was the season finale when they opened the pod door.
Okay.
Is so crappy.
Now that I know where we are, and I won't talk ahead of you. I'm talking about pod 4 and beta.
You don't like that, or you?
No, I like it, but I've never really felt like it was necessary to the show. Like, I think they could do the show without it.
I think, honestly, if it wasn't for the beta mystery element, I would totally tune out. That is the only thing that's keeping me.
I think every time they do, like, anything where they go, oh my god, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, I freak out, and I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my god, people in space, there's no time, go. And I get really excited about that. That's what pulled me into it a lot of the time. And I kind of feel like all these ooh secrets, you know, is a little extra that,
I don't know. Okay.
Anthony? Well, my first impression of the show was it was like Grey's Anatomy in space. I sort of liked it. I was a little hesitant about watching it because it seemed like it was going to be like Virtuality, which was the other show that got canceled that was in space. And it was almost like the same sort of thing. And, you know, I don't know. It's been okay. The thing that keeps me watching it is actually the science part of it, because trying to figure out, you know, how they're doing their oxygen, you know, where they're going and how long it's going to take them. I'm more interested in that aspect of it and the ship. I forgot what it's called. But I'm not really digging the soap opera stuff. I can see why it's not going to make it.
You already said it's going to get canceled.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that. But you know how they are. In Canada, of course, it plays up there because they're into that sappy stuff a bit.
Oh.
Yeah. Sure.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's built up here, so we like to support our own.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think due to the amount of Canadians in the actual cast, they have to play it on Canadian TV by law.
Yeah.
Did you notice the a few more people from Reaper? Anyone watch Reaper? Andy Airy.
Star Galactica, Reaper.
Basically Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah, basically, yeah.
Vancouver. Anybody who's been on a show in Vancouver, which is, yeah.
My contention. Anyway. Now, have you ever seen a show called Da Vinci's Inquest?
Maybe.
Okay.
Have to do with Defying Gravity, dude?
Well, because everybody from Battlestar Galactica is in the cast. Basically, Leo, the character Leo is the doc, you know, the white doc from Battlestar Galactica. I can't remember the man's name. But, and basically, it's like they made this TV show to give work to their to the actors.
Well, they
Canadian actors in Vancouver. They switch around from all the shows. I think they film like a block from each other and they just borrow.
That's what it looks like, right? Well, what are you thinking about the show? What are you...
To be honest, I did not get into it. I watched bits of it. I did try on the first weekend where they played the two episodes back to back. I was watching the show, and you know, I liked the Hispanic girl from The Shield, who was in there. I can't remember her name. She's the one who's the filmmaker.
Paula Morales.
Morales. She's, wow. Oh, I like her a lot. She's very good.
She's from Brownsville, Texas.
Woo! She's a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman, but she's also she's got a head about her. She knows what she wants to do, and I really enjoy that in a character and in the actress herself. But she's cool, and everybody was okay except, this freaks me out, for the computer guy, the technical computer guy, the heavy set. Oh,
Steve,
boy, everything
Steve.
I don't know who these people are. Yeah. But it was like, oh, so you're there just to be the culture, the reference to all these things, so you know everything, you know all about all these, like, you know, Star Trek and you know, all these weird space things, and you'll tie into that, and porn and stuff. And all these
gotta have porn, come on.
Yeah, but it's like okay, here's your lost person, here's your soul, here's this. You know, it's like stamping out these characters.
He's the Hurley of the show.
Exactly. But even Hurley is more of a character.
Is there anything original in the show?
That's what I'm saying.
The Sappy Grey's Anatomy. No, well, that's not original.
Exactly. It's original.
But that
it's
was
the first
really
thing that ripped off. No,
what'd you say, sorry. Jackie?
That was really sold, though, because on all the commercials here advertising, it was like from the creators of Grey's Anatomy.
Eight astronauts.
So that's why everybody thinks it's not in space. It's from the same people.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Everybody feels that way. Because it is.
See, I don't necessarily believe that ripping yourself off excuses you that you're ripping yourself off.
Grey's Anatomy
hasn't
done very well at being Grey's Anatomy either lately, so.
I don't like that or the private practice.
Medical shows. So, that reminds me of.
Y'all need to stop using this language on this show. This is a sci-fi party line.
What do you say?
All this language of these other private practice. What? Where are we going?
Carl.
It's not like they're on TV. It's not like they're not on TV. You know?
Oh, I'm not saying they're not on TV, but in my mind, they're not on TV.
On Earth, these astronauts knew the rules.
Your training will involve everything from flight systems to launch survival. And make no mistake, we are going to challenge you.
And how to break them.
I don't date astronauts.
What?
I'm having you discharged from the program.
As soon as I get back, I quit.
Oh, I was saying, when they started talking about the pods, I started thinking about 2001. I was saying, oh, here we go with the pod bay doors. Again, you know, then the baby, I started thinking about 2001. So, like, was there anything that was original in the show? Even when Babylon 5 started out, it was essentially the same thing with the Borlon giving dreams to Sheridan, or I can't remember who the first captain was. It was so similar to it.
The thing in Pod 4 seems like a Borlon.
Yeah.
Sinclair. It was Sinclair, by the way.
Sinclair, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and when you guys heard that they all started hearing music, right? Like, that was when they went to find...
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, well, how Battlestar was that?
Right.
So, BSG ripoff.
Yeah, totally. Carl, what are you thinking about the show? Yeah.
All right. Now, time to cue the timpani again. Cue the timpani. They ought to just call it, oh, by the way, they're in space. All right, just change it. Because you'll be sitting there. Come on. You'll be sitting there watching the episode, right? Okay, we've got post-traumatic stress. All religion is abortion. And by the way, they're in space. You know, for you to forget that. while you were watching these shows. That is a problem for me, okay? Don't fake like it's sci-fi. And it's frustrating to me because I like the cast. I think the casting is great. The production value is beautiful.
Yes.
I do. I like to sit there and I like to watch this show. And I'm trying to get into it. You know, I'm like, okay, all right, this time they're going to take us someplace. When you got two episodes back to back, you know, one's a medical show, one's, you know, a story about abortion. And then only at the end of the second episode do they, okay, I got a little dusty helmet, a mention of the spaceship, and that's the end of it. I'm like, people, you're going to have to do better than this if you want to keep sci-fi fans watching it, you know? So, granted, it ended on a high note, but even that episode, you're like I said, we got vines, a light in the door, that's the end of the episode. So,
I don't think they're meant for sci-fi fans.
Well, then
who's going to watch this? A regular person wants to watch astronauts, period.
I don't think the creators really know what they want to do. I think they're sort of schizophrenic about it. I don't know if they want to do another Grey's Anatomy or do they want to do a sci-fi show because it's not really even one of them and it's both of them at the same time.
They sure need to pick something because it is really, it's bothering me. And I can tell the audience is getting confused because, like I said, I want to like this show. I'm leaning in. I'm gritting my teeth. Kat and I were online during the hospital episode.
Oh,
and we were
God.
Like, what oh. is it? Because I'm not a big fan of hospital show. She's not a big fan of hospital show. If we wanted to see that, we'd be watching Grey's Anatomy. Don't be playing around, you know, where you sprinkle in a little space stuff at the end of the episode. You're messing with people. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
See, my contention, though, is, and I understand what you're saying, but my contention is good sci-fi television, good television in general, is about the characters, and you like the characters, whether they're reading the phone book, they're shooting laser beams, they're taking, you know, gunfire from aliens. You don't care, just as long as those characters are doing something that makes logical sense.
Now, look, character development is important, but when you're talking about sci-fi, the thing that has always made sci-fi great is
explosion.
Its ability. No.
Look at Star Trek.
Harry Frisser
in a bikini.
Hang on. The sci-fi.
All right. Well, okay. I'll lean to that. Look. Go ahead.
The sci-fi's ability to tell a story and not be the actual thing that we're talking about. Oh, so okay. But I'm black on the left side. All right, that was heavy-handed. But okay, look, at least it was aliens. At least it was set in space. I mean, that is the worst of what sci-fi can be. Don't actually put abortion in the episode. Don't actually put infidelity in the episode. You know, that's not what sci-fi is about.
So, In the gay episode where you
what gay episode? Which was the gay episode?
Star Trek: The Next Generation.
So the
They were both.
Oh, when you were the he she it thing. Okay, yeah,
exactly. And she wants to be a woman.
Make it so.
You're in for that? That you think is a cool thing?
They were aliens. It was not a flashback to when Troy experimented in school. Right?
Oh, my God. Lord,
If you read the scene that they edited out of the episode.
Me dragging in the editor's cut here. I'm talking about the ice cream
doll. Hold it. At least
it was an alien. All right, heavy-handed though it was, it was not. Look,
stupid,
these flashbacks are killing me. They are not even using analogy, is what I'm saying. It's actual abortion. It's actual infidelity. It's actual all the stuff that happened before they even got on the station. I mean, on the ship.
As far as character development, it seems like it's so much character development that there isn't any character development.
It's actually getting in the way of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
The flashbacks bother me because that reminds me of Lost. It's like, okay, I'm watching Lost again. I have to get the character development in flashbacks. What about getting character development through the story? You know, why can't he
thank you?
The most interesting character on the show is Beta. And we haven't seen Beta yet. We don't even know what Beta is.
Vorlon, dude.
You
Beta
will.
Show every third episode. Every third episode between that and the dusty helmet. That's all we get.
Beta is Leonard Nimoy. Actually, Leonard Nimoy is a
Beta chose him.
What?
Or why didn't Beta want us to go? Why didn't Beta it's always about Beta, but we haven't seen Beta. But that's the best character development, that's mystery, that's sci-fi, all rolled up into one. That should be the center of the show. That should make the show better.
But now we're
talking about alcoholism, abortion, you know,
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Cloning.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
The flashbacks. Flashbacks.
Those things are going to tie in.
Uh-oh.
They did start, the next one coming up, I'm not going to wreck anything, but I was impressed by the way that we got a ton of information from the season premiere.
I have a feeling it's not coming back here in the U.S.
Well, yeah. No, I'm
sure. No, they're going to put it on at, midnight.
No, they're going to put it online. They're going to do like what they did with Daybreak. They're just going to put it online. You got to go online and watch it. But being on TV, it's not going to happen.
Well, they had Ron Livingston. It wasn't
going to
live long.
It's too bad because, look, I did give him a hard time. It's true. But it's because I want the show to be good. I want to see new, solid, high-quality sci-fi on TV. But you got to at least respect the basics of what sci-fi is about. And so far, you know, and
aliens
I'm looking at... I'm
exploding.
Exactly. You know, and every time you get interested, they have a flashback.
What'd you say, Jackie?
This is the problem, though. They put it on prime time, and we're talking to a Grey's Anatomy audience, right? So where do we find the balance? Because the people that are making it are not making it for sci-fi fans, we've kind of established. And it's being made for prime time and being dulled down. You know, I think...
Yeah, okay. I think Defying Gravity originally was conceptualized, made by committee, I think. Because I see, a whole smattering of, different shows rolled into one. As y'all mentioned, the going back in time. I mean, because they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too, in so many ways. Because they're trying to take what they think are the best elements of other shows. Like, with Lost, everyone thinks, oh, so cool, because we can refer to their past and see how it ties into the present. So, without having whooshing sounds, Defying Gravity has found its own way to do that. And I think, about all this focusing on all the soap opera elements, a lot of people have said that, about the new Doctor Who. A lot of people said that's why it's successful nowadays compared to the old show, is because, you know, Doctor Who has, it didn't even have a female audience before, really, to be honest, in the classic days. But now it seems like there's more female fans than male fans sometimes for the new Doctor Who. And it's because of all that.
Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant.
Yeah, it's that plus David all Tennant. The... It's because
Christopher Eccleston was hot. Russell T. David.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Tom Baker? Come on.
Yeah. and also when they...
I know
it's not just that, though. It's not just that, though, because like we were saying earlier, are we on... I mean, what Carl said earlier, and oh, by the way, we're in space. Like, when Doctor Who first started with the new series... old Doctor Who fans were this is Doctor Who, and oh, by the way, we're supposed to go into space, you know, because that's what they did, is they, for people uninitiated Doctor Who, they made it, very much down to Earth, very much grounded on Earth, I mean, you know, with Rose and her whole family.
I have to disagree, because there was a Doctor Who spent his entire time on Earth, I think it was
the third Doctor. Yes, I didn't want to bring back the 70s and get into the whole Doctor Who lore.
Defying Gravity, people. Defying
but
Gravity.
My point was, though, a lot of people, you know, the way they centered it on Earth and with the soap operatic elements in the new Doctor Who family and, you know, tying it in, here's her mom and here's her boyfriend. Well, you know, that's, you know, Defying Gravity is trying to do the same thing, to keep it so grounded. Because they're trying to, in there, I guess, you know, appeal to a female audience time.
I like all the Doctor Who's. I like all the Doctor Who's, and I agree with you that, you know, we're
Doctor
focusing
Who.
A lot more. Yeah, the Doctor's Who. Thank you. they're focusing a lot on character development in the new series. But you see, they have found the balance in Doctor Who.
Yes, I have to agree.
I mean, I am loving the characters, the people,
that they pick up, even the random folks that are wandering into the TARDIS, everyone is interesting, but it is still firmly within the context of good sci-fi. I mean, you got people talk. So what's her name? She needs to call home. She needs to talk to her mom. She's using a cell phone in the TARDIS. She's across space. That's kind of funny, all right? That she's got to call her mom and she's got to do it across like space-time to reach her. That's cute. That's all right. I can deal with that. The issues that they're addressing are still not as heavy-handed and just so separate from what sci-fi is about in Doctor Who. They always put that special twinge on it, that extra peppering that makes it consistent with the sci-fi universe.
Yeah, I think Jackie was exactly right. It's meant for Grey's Anatomy people. It's not meant for sci-fi fans. It's sort of like, we're going to get the Grey's Anatomy people to watch, and we're going to give them something different. And
but that's not working because they're bored.
Not to be private practice.
Well, we don't know that. Like the group that we have here, we don't really represent the, housewives. Well, that's who watches Grey's Anatomy. But, we're not the typical people that would be watching those shows.
Well,
I watch Grey's Anatomy, maybe, but I wouldn't, anyway.
Apparently, Defying Gravity.
My wife loves Defying Gravity, and she also loves, Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think she's the audience for that show. And she really likes it.
Is she a chick flick watcher?
Yes.
See, I'm not. Yes. And so this Defying Gravity is just killing me. It's killing me.
And she loves
it. Because the flashbacks, I can't really tell from they're not doing them well enough to differentiate, because sometimes I'm watching okay, what's going on? The only way I could tell is because Zoe's hair is long. That's the only time I could tell it's a flashback.
Flashbacks are my wife's favorite part of the show.
Oh, Christ.
It's like, you might as well watch Grey's Anatomy in private
Exactly. And I think that she should take that option and have them free up the show for actual sci-fi people.
You can see that the network that's what they're interested in, right? Like, they're putting it on at a time when people are tuning in to watch typical network primetime shows. And those generally don't involve space.
Like Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All that stuff.
But what are we talking about here?
Okay, sorry. We digressed.
No one is arguing. No one is arguing.
Because Defying Gravity does that. It does that to you. Someone else because, what is that? I mean,
such a great show, we can't even talk about it.
I don't solve the problem with Defying Gravity that everyone's brought up already. I loathe all the heavy-handed soap opera-ness. But I am some ridiculous fanboy who, at the end of the day, is still a sucker for any futuristic, grounded-in-reality astronaut stuff. I am such a sucker.
Defying Gravity is based in reality?
Well, you know what I mean? As opposed to Star Trek and Star Wars, I mean, because anything like Mission to Mars, Red Planet, of course, 2001, anything that's remotely like 2001, I'm a sucker. I'm a straight sucker. And despite all the other flaws, I will still watch it.
Me too.
You know,
It is what it is. It's a terrible sci-fi soap opera show.
It is.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I still watch it.
I don't fall for that. It's like, you don't take a key, you don't take a cop show, throw an alien in there, and oh boy, I love that show now.
Alien Nation rock.
As I was saying, Alien Nation was a pretty damn good show, actually.
But
it wasn't because it was about an alien cop. It was because it was about alien
relationship.
No, it was because it was an alien. Otherwise, it would have been Heat of the Night. All right. I am telling you, you did not see Carol O'Connor drinking chunky spoiled milk during the program. I'm telling you. You can keep bringing them. I'm not gonna let you go on this.
Sorry, that was absolutely no allegory in District 9 or Alien Nation.
Here we go.
I am not. What did I say? What am I saying? Allegory is great. If it is how, if it's blatantly heavy-handed, the actual thing, that's what the problem is. If it's the actual thing, you don't need sci-fi. If it is actual abortion, actual infidelity, actual post-traumatic stress disorder, you don't need science fiction. You use sci-fi. Like
actually pending up the aliens. You don't need an allegory for that. It's the actual thing.
So nobody thinks this is brilliant at all because of it's different and.
I agree
with
what someone else said. That it's shot beautifully. I mean,
it's beautiful. The production value is off the chart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The set design, all that stuff is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, but, I have to say too, it's very nice.
And that's what
that's
I like.
The only thing, but that's the only thing.
The writing is good. The transitions to the flashbacks, the direction is great.
I don't like that.
It's the concept. It just
It is the concept. And they can still fix it. Like I said, I'm not, I'm being hard on it because I'm pointing out what the problem is, all right? Please, just bring in a little bit more nitpicker. Bring in a little more, science fiction, and I think it could still be successful. I think they could still save the series. But right now, it's kind of hard for folks to watch. It's not flowing.
We're also like comparing it to shows that have been on the air, like had the chance to be on the air for years and years. We've seen 6 episodes, right? Like I don't know. I'm especially in the last couple of years, I've learned to give shows a little bit of air before I totally rule them out. And I think we've all decided we will continue to watch it. But
we give them air, we give them room, but the networks don't, and we can feel the network. Well, we can feel the network
because I think
swooping down on it.
I think Lost came out of the gate so fast. Heroes came out of the gate so fast.
Somebody just boo Heroes? Did someone
that
boo
was
Heroes?
Me. That was Katrina. Yes.
What is wrong with you?
And Jackie,
what is wrong with you?
I boo it now.
That's what I mean.
I boo it post first.
There's been a lot of shows that have started and didn't make the cut. I mean, Life on Mars, is one of the shows. There's a whole lot of shows that networks just don't give a chance because I don't think there's a large enough audience in prime time for science fiction shows. Heroes works because they don't really consider it a sci-fi show. It's more of a comic book show.
I know, right?
It's not that they're discussing science fiction. It's comic books.
It's superheroes. There's a difference between.
And that's not science fiction at all.
I didn't say that it wasn't sci-fi. I said the perception of it is different. That's why the Sci-Fi Channel does so much better with putting on the sci-fi shows or science fiction shows because it works for them. They can do that. Friday night is the night for all the big sci-fi shows. Network TV's not
none of us have dates.
It doesn't play to the mainstream audience. It doesn't play because they also know that 18 to 45 year old males, aren't really going to watch Grey's Anatomy.
Well, I mean that's where they're trying to get their money from. But I mean, it's such. It gets down to the argument of, again, what is, what's science fiction?
I don't think they care.
Yeah.
Oh, no, obviously. No, they don't care. They want to know what will fill up these 43 minutes that we need to put between the commercials. And that's how they think. 43 minutes. That won't offend anyone.
Abortion. Let's talk about abortion. That won't offend anyone. Yeah.
That's smooth. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get this and might get us an Emmy. There you go. That's what
I think they sat down and they said, okay, if you see it, then look at the numbers for Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. What if we can do that, get those numbers and add to them by pulling in a sci-fi audience? And I think that was the pitch.
That's brilliant.
Ridiculous.
That was the pitch. And you can see it in the show. That was the pitch. And on top of that, let's tackle social issues. Because, there was a whole lot of ruckus about the abortion issue because, apparently in the future, abortion has been outlawed. And so people had a problem with that. But the thing is, you can't pitch a show. Sometimes when they pitch shows, it's not exactly how it's going to air or play on TV.
So they want the sci-fi crowd,
but they also want the Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice numbers. And that didn't work. It's not going to work that way.
You say, Jackie?
I just think in that episode, that's not what had happened. If that's what people got upset about, they were she used a pill that exists today and is in, it's legal in like Russia, but it's not legal in this half of the world. So I think they kept on with something.
I think the thing that really stirred people up, it wasn't the pill, it was the fact that abortion had been outlawed.
Yeah, I don't think abortion was outlawed. I'm not sure that that's what they said. It's just, I think they were saying that that pill was still outlawed.
I'm pretty sure they said abortion was outlawed.
Well, either way, the future.
It wasn't even a space pill.
No.
From the future, this pill is developed. Nothing. They're giving
it's
me
true.
Nothing.
It was, it's not even future technology.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can get a pill.
Was it RU-46?
And some of the best parts of the episode, besides Beta, is your girl going around explaining to the students the science.
I thought that was
annoying.
I hate that. Ugh.
I actually like that because sometimes she does tell you things that will explain how the science of the show works. Because I'm still trying to wrap my head around their instantaneous communication. Okay. Because
I like this. I like.
I think that's just a convenient edit. I don't think
Wait.
It is, but it's like I would like for them to sort of give us like a canned answer as to how you're able to do instantaneous communication across hundreds of thousands.
It's not really important though.
They can do it with laser beam.
There you go.
No, they can't do it with laser beams.
You can do it with laser beams. I mean, because
you can do it with laser beams, but that travels at the speed.
Yeah, it's the same speed. I mean, that's
It's the same scene.
Maybe they just cut out the delay.
You can do it, but it was still... Yeah, they cut out the delay. So she calls her mom, and 100 years later, her mom gets a phone call.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah. God.
That would be so... Yeah.
So, well, but see, like I said, is, I think that... Would, and when they talk about the science and when they talk about, you know, the stuff that they're doing, that stuff is interesting. But as soon as it gets interesting, we have a flashback and... You know,
somebody's crying about something. Somebody's drinking. Somebody's like, slip my.
I just need for someone to explain the instantaneous communication. I think I would be happy.
Okay, simple man there. Simple desires. No, I'm good.
Just wants to know how they're defying physics. That's all. maybe it's gravity. Because they are defying gravity.
Okay, well, so what do you think your verdict? What is your verdict on this show? Cancel, not cancel. Giving it some more. Hate it, love it. Blah. What?
Indignant. Indifferent. I don't care. I really don't care. I really don't care about the show. I watched the show a little bit. It's like Grey's Anatomy. I watched a couple scenes. It's just like flipping past channels. Lesbian. Okay, fine. Click, click. You know, it's nothing. On the concept of it. You know, it's just, flip by. Don't even care.
Okay, Carl, what you thinking? Cancel, no cancel, love it, hate it, blah.
I'm going with indignant. I liked indignant.
Listen.
Okay, here comes a big admission here. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this.
Here we go.
I watch Grey's Anatomy. All right?
Yeah. After all of that thing.
Listen. Wow. Now, what is my point, though? What's my point? My point is... Grey's Anatomy is not a sci-fi program. You've got, if I want to see that kind of stuff, I watch Grey's Anatomy. I have no problem with characters and emotion and all that kind of stuff articulated in a story. I got no problem with that. If you're going to put them in space, use the freaking space, all right? Actually use the fact that they're there to tell stories, to make it something new and something different. So... That being said, so I want to be clear because, you know, we've talked in past episodes. You know, I love my explosions. I like giant robots. I'm down with all the silliness. But I really do appreciate good character development and good stories. But if it is a sci-fi story, if you're putting it in that environment, then you need to use the multi-million dollars that you're paying for the effects, the multi-million dollars you pay for that set to actually say something that cannot be said in an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Okay. That's my beef with the show. Now, all that being said, I'm still hanging in there. I'm still hanging in. Jackie's giving me some hope because, okay, I saw some vines growing in a spiral, a light coming out the door. Maybe they're going to show me something a little sci-fi now. I'm holding on, you know. But what I've seen so far has left me a little lacking, a little wanting.
Okay, Jackie.
I I'm going to keep watching, considering I'll probably see a new episode next week. but I think if I had to wait, it might lose me. And I'm not going to be surprised when they probably do cancel this show. I'm not saying it should be, but I can see why it's going to happen. And for networky reasons, for all the reasons it seems to be the way it is, same reasons why they're going to cancel it. So.
Okay. Eric.
Well, not my favorite show. I do like watching it. I do like watching it more than Eureka and Warehouse 13.
Man, why you gotta diss on Eureka like that? Why you gotta?
I'm okay with Eureka too, but I have to say, like, I watch all those three shows on Hulu, and I anticipate when there's a new Defying Gravity more than those other two. Just saying, but. But, you know, I want to watch more of it. I think almost for sure, I'm almost certain it will get canceled very soon. But I'm a fan of Donner. I like that character. I really do. That keeps me into the show. And I don't know, but I doubt we'll be talking about this next year.
Wow. Anthony.
If it comes back, there are just three things I'm really interested in. You know, I want to know what Beta is, and I want to see them go to Venus, if they're actually going to Venus, and see how they do that, and just explain the instantaneous communication. That's it. I'm gonna keep watching it for that. But they explain how they get around zero gravity. I don't see why they can't explain that. So, I'm gonna keep watching it because there are some elements of the show that I do like. You know, I do like that they're in space. I do like, you know, the science of the show, you know, so I'm going to keep watching it, but I don't believe ABC is going to bring it back.
Yeah, I believe the instant communications are explained away by a heaping dose of plutonium.
Oh,
well, I mean, I'm sorry, I was just going to go in with, you guys didn't have a problem with the magnetic hairspray? You were cool with that, though?
That caused big problems.
The nano spray, I think is what it was.
Oh, no. They're killing me.
They didn't do that, did they?
Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay. That's why they don't have gravity.
They have nano fibers in their clothing, allow them to.
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, lead in the clothing. I get the concept of that. I'm like going, okay. But the hair?
The hairspray, yeah.
They could have just said, we're going to slap some gel on the hair and it's just going to
But then you see them, see things that aren't.
They all have Astro Boy haircuts.
Ew.
And as they turn,
that would kind of be awesome.
Yeah. The points go left and right as they turn their heads. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up Defying Gravity. We all think it's going to die and get canceled. You know, what can you do?
They could do it. They can fix it still.
Carl, yeah, no. No. It's gonna die.
Not gonna happen.
This has been the Fringe and Defying Gravity episode with Anthony. Tell him bye.
Bye. BlackGeekSlam.com.
All right. And Eric.
Bye.
With the breath and no, where can we find you, dude? Come on, you know the drill. You work here.
I just want to hear you say that every time.
He hates me. Okay, Eric.
Bye. I'm at Bullet33 on Twitter. Check out @SciFiPartyLine on Twitter and Fanus on Facebook.
All right, then. And Jackie.
Hey, you can find me at jerkdoublebitch.com or @jerkdoublebitch on Twitter.
Sweet. And Carl.
You can find me at robotcast.com or robotcast on Twitter.
Sweet. Will.
It's LW_Will for Lightwave Will on the Twitters.
All right. And I'm at FancyFanBot. And thanks for joining the show. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hi, this is Eric, and closing out the show today is a song called A Glorious Dawn.
composed, performed, and recorded by John Boswell. It features the voice of Carl Sagan of Cosmos fame and a dose of Stephen Hawking. For information on where to get it or to watch the video that accompanies it, check the links in the show notes at scifipartyline.com. Until next time, enjoy.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Space is filled with a network of wormholes. You might emerge somewhere else in space.
The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rose. A morning filled with 400 million suns. The horizon of the Milky Way. The cosmos is full beyond measure. Elegant truths of exquisite interrelationships of the awesome.
I believe our future depends powerfully on how well we understand this cosmos, in which we float like a mote of dust in the morning sky.
But the brain does much more than just recollect. It intercompares, it synthesizes, analyzes, it generates abstractions. The simplest thought, like the concept of the number one, has an elaborate logical underpinning. The brain has its own language. Testing the structure and consistency of the world. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rose. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The horizon of the Milky Way. The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars.
Years, people have wondered about the universe. Did it stretch out forever, or was there a limit? From the Big Bang to black holes, from dark matter to a possible Big Crunch, our image of the universe today is full of strange-sounding ideas.
How lucky we are to live in this time, the first moment in human history when we are, in fact, visiting other worlds. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rose. A morning filled with 400 million suns. The rising of the Milky Way. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rose. A morning filled with 400 million suns. The rising of the Milky Way. Shore of the cosmic ocean. Recently we've waded a little way up, and the water seems inviting.
That was cool. That was cool. I mean, we need to be able to reproduce that effect, because that was like the coolest alien sound effect just then.
Bad robot!